everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for September 15th, 2007.
On this week's show,
Silky and Bright to Jammy and Chewy.
Are those like additional dwarfs or something? Those are the dwarfs we don't know about?
Silky, Bright, Jammy, and Chewy.
Well, we know about Chewy.
What a Wookiee. No, that is the description of red wines at this week's cheap date location, Quartino.
Wow, we're just jumping right into it, aren't we? Usually we mess around, we waste these people's time with all sorts of nonsense about stuff we're doing.
Well, you know what? Consider that a sneak preview now.
Okay. Well, what's up?
We'll be back to Quartino in a minute. So, how's it going?
OMG. No, let's talk about Quartino, because there's a little bit of a history here, because, well, not a history.
Oh, boy.
There's,
no,
there's a story to be told. Lisa,
what's the story?
Lisa being the full-time student that she is, correct?
Correct.
On Fridays, she is now downtown, and her school is literally half a mile from my office, which is very cool. So,
a little less cool when you have 50 pounds of books on your back.
That's true.
But I managed to make it.
So on weekends when my daughters are not with us, now we have a whole new world of opportunities for dining experiences.
It's
on
awesome.
Friday evenings.
We're both downtown on Fridays at 4 o'clock, which is like a huge change from before.
So we decided that rather than sitting in rush hour traffic, we would have ourselves a lovely dinner in the city. We have a lot of friends. We know a lot of people who went to Quartino, which is right on State Street, State in Ontario, in downtown Chicago. And we decided, you know what? It was time for us to check it out.
And it was.
Let's talk about the Quartino experience, shall we?
Okay. Well, I love it when you talk to yourself. Quartino has a slogan, and now I can't find it. Well, it's something along the lines of share a pizza.
Share a pizza, share a carafe, share a day at Quartino. This is their lunch menu. Open daily 11:30 for lunch. You can't afford to eat lunch anywhere else.
They are all about the sharing. They serve wine. Well, first of all, they have small plates, a little bit like tapas, except it's not a top, like you probably couldn't make a whole meal out of that. Well, I guess you could if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, easily.
Well, we didn't.
So the other big difference is that it's Italian and not Spanish.
Well, yes. They have little plates from $7 to $9. They when you sit down, first of all, there are a whole stack of plates on the table.
Right. Much like a tapas restaurant.
Right. And you get some bread, and there's olive oil on the table. And the first thing you order is, why don't you cover this? Because I didn't really understand it.
They have a salumeria right in the restaurant.
What is a salumeria?
It's a place where they have dried meats and cheeses and olives and all kinds of other cool stuff.
And it's
stuff.
Like a counter up at one end of the
exactly.
restaurant.
Sort of like a deli, but specifically focusing on dried meats, cheeses, and Italian specialties like that. So right in one side of the restaurant, they have that. And they give you a menu with a pencil.
A little golf pencil.
Hold on, let me do the sound effect for everyone again. Hold on. Oh, now the plane's coming over again. You can always tell which way the wind is blowing. Because it seems like whenever we do a podcast.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. All right, if you can hear this over the plane, tell me. Yeah, golf pencil.
Glad we got that.
And actually says on the golf pencil.
Okay,
Quartino,
enough about the pencil.
Where wine is cheaper than water.
The water's free, so that's not really true. But anyway.
So anyway, they give you a menu, and what you do is you check off how many of each of these things you want. And it's divided into sections. You have olives, and then you have their little salads, and then various types of meats, and then your cheeses.
Little salads like jardinera-type salads.
Exactly. Well, there's eggplant salad, roasted peppers hand-charred with capers, garlic, and EVOO.
Well, okay, I mean, if you're like me, when you hear salad, you think of like a pile of lettuce.
Right. They're smaller salads. They're $5 a piece. They're little servings. Three different types of olives is what they had the night we were there, if you can imagine that. From the meat side of things, we had the soppressata, which is medium spice Italian salami.
Very nice.
Very, very nice. And that was served with, it comes on a little plate, and it's served, it had a little, it was a little three-sectioned, like, boat that came with it.
Boat.
Would you call it? I mean, that's the only word
I can think of. Yeah, it was a little, like, it was a little relish tray kind of
thing.
Right,
but it's tiny.
Yes, tiny.
And it's candied mustard fruit, jardinera, like homemade jardinera. And sweet and sour cucumbers came with that.
Uh-huh.
And that was really nice. And then they give you these little wooden, like, fork-type things.
Little picks,
right, that you pick the stuff off and you can dip it in the little sauces or have it and whatever. And then little pieces of bread, very much like tapas as well.
Yes.
Little pieces of bread that you can use to soak up things and whatnot. Delicious.
We ate with our fingers, too, because sometimes we weren't sure what to use.
We did. But they have all those. They had duck prosciutto.
Duck prosciutto.
Imagine that.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And then on the cheese side, you have your choice of gorgonzola, fontina, provolone, all these other, Asiago. We had the Parmigiano-Reggiano, which they described as made from cow's milk, piquant, salty, and hard.
And it was.
But you know what? It was some of the most amazing Parmesan cheese I'd had in a long, long time.
It was really great.
Very, very powerful. And delicious. And that was served with a little, again, a little boat thing of, with a grape salad, a fennel salad, and apricot rosemary puree.
So already we're in over our heads.
Exactly. Now, the one thing that you can do, in addition to picking things off of here, you can also do something called the Salumeria tasting, which will give you two of the meats, two of the cheeses, and then an assortment of all the olives, and then assorted little salads. And that's $25 for the thing, and that's easily something you guys could split.
See, and if we had it to do over again, I would order that and some wine and call it good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would get more variety. It would be little bites of things. The wine, of course, and then... But what we actually did was we, like Joe said, we picked out a couple of those things.
Well, we should talk about the wine before we go any further.
That's where we're
going. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry,
I can't read your mind.
We'll try harder. A cheese, a sausage, we had our bread, and wine. The wine, they, of course, have bottled wine. They also serve wine by the carafe. And this is where, I think this is key about Quartino, because this is where the name Quartino comes from. A Quartino is a quarter liter carafe of wine. That's about, now a quarter liter is like maybe one glass in a traditional glass.
Right.
But they serve you these smaller like juice glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, the same set of glasses that you have right
yeah,
in that cabinet.
How about
right behind
that?
Us.
Which I think are great for sake. And they're nice little, they're not wine glasses at all. They're juice glasses.
Yeah.
But they are open at the top. Or I mean, they're tapered from the bottom to the top. So they work well for wine. But you end up only taking about half a glass at a time. So a quarter liter comes out to a couple glasses or a glass and a half each. Whereas normally it would just fill one wine glass. So you can get the quarter liter, the mezzo half liter, which we got, which was like five little glasses
yeah.
altogether, I think, or a full liter, which would be good to share among maybe four people.
Mm-hmm.
We got a mezzo of Bartolino Superior, which is one of the, which I think is more on the silky and bright side than the jammy and chewy side.
Yeah. Hence the title of the episode.
They have a selection of reds and whites that you can get in the carafe. And the Quartinos start at $4,
yeah.
which is a heck of a deal, and top out at like $18 for the Quartino, which is a lot for a couple glasses. But the good thing about ordering a small portion of wine like that is you can afford a wine that you normally could not afford. You can afford to have a little bit of it. So if you want to try something expensive, you can try a little bit of it instead of having to buy a whole bottle of it for like $70.
Right.
So I think the wine idea, I think that's awesome. And if I had it to do over again, I would want to get like maybe two different Quartinos.
Possibly.
Or you could each try one. Or I guess if you were there by yourself, a Quartino would do the trick.
Oh, yeah.
Then... We moved on to food. Are we ready to move on to food?
I'm ready to move on to food. Oh, yeah.
Joe started out with the romaine heart salad, which was tossed with lemon, honey, and EVOO, and some shaved Parmesan. It was amazing.
It really was. It was very, very simple, but it was delicious.
I'm going to have to try that lemon, honey, and olive oil dressing. That was wonderful. And I had the sun-dried tomato soup with basil, prosciutto broth, and ricotta cheese crostini.
Oh, man. Now, this was really delicious. It was very rich. And you summed it up perfectly when you said,
it's like someone gave me permission to eat spaghetti sauce with a spoon. It was very thick.
It was very hearty. It was delicious.
It was more like a pasta sauce, really, than what you would think of.
I put some on some bread, and it kicked my butt.
Yes, it was a little bit like a kind of a fine bruschetta. Bruschetta is usually like fresh tomatoes, but yeah, it was nice.
Oh, yeah.
They also have all kinds of pastas for like $8 or $9. And like we said, the small plates of all different sorts of things. I really wanted to try the roasted baby octopus, but maybe next time. To top it off, we enjoyed a margarita pizza. I, for one, am a big fan of the margarita pizza. It's mozzarella, tomatoes, and basil on a thin crust. And it seems like there was just a little bit of tomato sauce.
Yes.
Although margarita pizzas sometimes aren't
right,
very
saucy.
Sauce.
And the other thing that was different about this margarita pizza from others that I've had is that usually they have chopped up tomatoes on them. And this didn't seem to have a whole lot of chopped up tomatoes on it. There wasn't
this
a lot of...
This must have been more like crushed tomatoes
made
into a sauce. But anyway, it was very good. The crust, I thought, was perfect. As these Neapolitan pizzas go, sometimes you get like kind of a crackery crust.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's ideal. This had just enough crust for you to hold on to, but it was nice and chewy and very thin, but it was still like a crust, not like you were eating cheese off of flatbread.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
you know
I'm
what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Overall, a wonderful experience.
It really was. Now, we weren't done there because we did have dessert.
How could I forget dessert?
The dessert menu came. And when this thing came, well, first of all, we were totally full between the wine, the appetizers, the salads, and then our main course.
Mm-hmm.
We were stuffed. But when the server came over and said, ready to look at the dessert menu, we're like, well, yes, we'll look. And what did you say? No calories in looking.
That's right. It's free to look.
Their dessert menu. Now, a friend of ours who goes there all the time said that she's not really crazy about the desserts there.
Fair enough.
Which is fair. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And when you
met a dessert menu we didn't like.
No fooling. They have all kinds of neat stuff. They have the Gran Copa Cortino, which is their signature. Apparently, it's the first one on the dessert menu, so I'm assuming this is what they would call their signature dish. Vanilla chocolate and strawberry gelati with seasonal berries, whipped cream, biscotti, and roasted hazelnuts.
Oh, that does sound
next time we go there,
dish.
I'm going right there. They have
share one of those in a carafe.
They have something called Copa al Banana, which is a caramelized banana, vanilla gelato, biscotti, whipped cream, chocolate sauce, and chocolate shavings. Sounds like a banana split to me.
But what did we have?
We
kept it kind of simple.
We had it very simple. You picked it out. You get to talk about it.
I had a scoop of chocolate gelato, which could not have been more perfect.
It was
like $2.
It was perfectly dense, and it was... Well, I've talked about this before. My thing with ice cream or any iced product like gelato is that a lot of times places serve it too cold.
This
was perfectly, this was at the perfect temperature because you could take your spoon and just sort of trim off the melted part on the outside of the scoop and put it in your mouth and it would just fill your mouth with...
Well, gelato is pretty much the world's perfect food anyway. I mean, really.
Yeah, we'll add that to our list of favorite food groups.
And you went even more kind of basic with dessert.
I had a cappuccino.
Boy, that went great with that gelato.
Oh, and you know what? It was absolutely perfectly done. Oh, my goodness. It really was. It was absolutely delicious.
It was a beautiful foamy cappuccino. So the food ranged from really simple to really kind of special and all very shareable and hearty and fun and just a really I don't know, a really laid back, fun dining experience. Yeah.
Like a tapas restaurant, I think you could go there with a bunch of people and you could all order different things and pass the plates around.
Or it's a great date place.
Once again,
because
a great date place.
You're kind of supposed to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would know right away if how adventurous someone's spirit was and how they were with sharing and with getting mouthfuls of things they don't like, because it happens to everyone at some time or another.
It does.
You need to find out right away if he's going to be a man about it.
Oh, there you go. Like if you tried the duck prosciutto?
Yes.
There you go. The two of us got out of there for dinner, and it was under $50. It was around $50. Which is really, really reasonable, especially considering it's right in the heart of the restaurant-y kind of touristy area, a little bit west of the Magnificent Mile, a little bit north of the Loop.
The great thing about it is if you want to spend $20, but you want to get $20 worth of really good food, even if it's not a lot of food, this is a place you can do it. And I think that's just so awesome that there's nothing on the menu, hardly anything on the menu with two digits.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
In the price. So if you want to go spend a little bit of money and get a little bit of really good food and really good wine, you can. It's not a huge commitment.
Cortino is at 626 North State Street in Chicago. Their website is at cortinochicago.com. And of course, there will be a link on our website as well.
Of course.
How do we top that?
Okay, that's the end of new business. Is there old business?
We got some feedback from, well,
our barbecue expert.
That's right. We were hoping for some feedback from our barbecue expert, and we got it. Shelley.
Shelley of Shelley's Podcast at shelleyspodcast.com.
Wait a minute, let me write that down. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. We kind of had asked her for a little feedback on barbecue because she is the person who knows about barbecue.
She lives in Austin.
She does say there are several different types of barbecue, and her kind, of course, is the Texas kind. What she says is, barbecue is not a kind of food you have when you go out. It's the food one eats at family reunions, gathering with friends, arts festivals, etc. Most of what I ate growing up was not purchased, but made by people to whom I was related. The idea of barbecue you buy took a lot of getting used to. Now, this is interesting. She mentions barbecue sausage, which she does really like, and it's not redundant. And in fact, she only eats sausage that's been barbecued enough to get most of the grease out, which I think is very interesting because I had never heard of that. And finally, on the subject of sauce, which is what we were really kind of curious about. Well, she also says barbecue there is brisket, chicken, sausage, beef ribs, pork ribs. That's a lot more, that's a wider range of barbecue than I would have thought of before. The perfect sauce, not sweet, not ketchup-y. The perfect sauce is highly infused with the flavors of onion, vinegar, and Worcestershire sauce. In other words, it should be tangy.
Right. I would agree with that.
I would agree with that, too. So I think actually what we had at Texan Barbecue was right on.
It was definitely tangy.
There was only enough sweetness to like balance the tangy.
Yeah.
I mean, enhance the tangy. But I think we need to do some research.
Just a comparison. Here's what we're going to do. We'll fly down to Texas.
I think we need to travel to Texas.
I think we'll have to. And Shelley and anyone else who's listening, if you happen to come by the Chicago area, by all means, let us know, shoot us an email, and we will arrange for a visit to the Texan Barbecue if you're interested in trying it. Or indeed, any of the other places that we've tried. We'll definitely point you to places. When people have come to visit us, or even if they've come to visit Chicago without visiting us necessarily, we've given tons of recommendations because, oh, stop.
We're heartbroken, but we do it anyway. We give and we give.
We do for you people. And what do we get? What do we get in return from you people? Well,
emails, voicemails.
Yeah, and you listen to the show, and that's enough love
High
for us.
High download numbers.
There you go. Hey, there was one other thing we wanted to talk about.
So thanks, Shelley, for the feedback.
Yes, thank you. One other thing that we want to mention before it's too late. Well, it's not too late.
Before it's too late.
Oh, my God. It's going to be too late. in the, I think it's the September issue of Esquire magazine. Yes, Esquire magazine.
Joe subscribes to it and I always steal it before he gets to it. This is why.
I'll walk into the, to see who the sexiest woman alive is for the year. Who is it? Last year it was Scarlett Johansson. Uh-huh. And who is it this year? You think you know who it is. Who is it this year?
I don't remember.
I think you think it's, what's her name? Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
I think that's
Although
who it is
she's
too.
Not really in anything right now.
She doesn't have anything
but
to push.
But she could have something coming out in a few months when they finally reveal her. So, I do. Oh, I remember now why I do. I do think it's Charlize Theron. Well, anyhow,
in the September issue of Esquire magazine. Yeah, I'll come home and I'll be looking around, I'll be doing something. All of a sudden I'll be like moving a stack of newspapers or picking up like the GameCube boxes that my girls have left on the coffee table. And underneath it'll be this month's Esquire. It's like, hey, hello. Oh, yeah, I had it. Came a few days ago. Thanks. They had a recipe for pancakes in this issue of Esquire. And it is the best of all the pancakes I have had and made. This is the best recipe I have ever experienced.
And we have had and made a lot of pancakes.
We have.
A lot of different mixes, both, a lot from scratch.
Both independently and together. Remember when you were still out in Seattle and we each did blog postings about this?
Buttermilk, lemon juice, whole baking grain, powder, baking soda, whole grain, 10 grain, buckwheat. Oh, there was that place out in Seattle that had awesome pancakes.
What was it called?
I can't remember.
It was a girl's name. Sally, yeah. Cindy's.
I want to say Cindy's. It was Cindy's. Yeah. Oh, especially their buckwheat pancakes. But of all the pancakes you've made, this is the simplest recipe and the best.
Mm-hmm. So, and the story behind this is that the guy by the name of Ryan D'Agostino, he wrote this recipe down and he keeps it in his wallet.
Yeah.
So whenever he goes to a friend's house, he just whips this up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, how often are you like, we need some food and there's nothing in the house? All you have is like a pantry full of ingredients.
Exactly.
Nothing, and you don't know what to make.
Here's what it is. We don't even have to write this down. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, just pause and write. And
okay.
1 1/4 cup of flour, 2 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 tablespoons of sugar, that's 3 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 egg, 1 1/4 cup of milk, 3 tablespoons of melted butter. The melted butter is the key ingredient. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yes, that's the trick.
You combine the dry ingredients, you beat the egg, you combine the wet ingredients, you mix the wet into the dry, you stir it up until it's barely mixed. Bingo.
And it also makes a nice small recipe too. Like it doesn't make 1,000 pancakes.
That's the recipe that I did for you and me. And that was the perfect amount of pancakes for us. Maybe
it made
a third person.
4 big ones?
4 giant ones.
Yeah.
And it made probably 6 smaller ones.
Yeah, 6 like
I
that.
Doubled that recipe and I added fresh blueberries when I made it for you and me and the girls last weekend. And it blew everybody away. The blueberries, they were wonderfully plump and fresh blueberries as well. And they held up, the batter held up to it and they held up to the batter. So it was great. The nice thing about this, and Lisa and I talked about this, I said, because I was going to tweak this recipe and I was going to say, well, maybe you should add a little bit of vanilla extract. But you said they're plenty sweet on their own or they make a good base.
Yes, that's the great thing about them. They don't have a lot of sweetness on their own. They're fluffy. They're savory. They have an awesome butter flavor. That's what's great about them. And they're perfect. In fact, I don't put butter on them because I don't think they need it.
That's true. They are very buttery.
And they are perfect with something I mean, you always put something sweet on your pancakes, whether you put blueberries in them or syrup on top of them or whatever, or jam or whatever you like to put on your pancakes. The pancakes don't need to be sweet. If the pancakes are sweet and then you put syrup on them, it's too much.
Yeah.
Vanilla extract might be good if you wanted to skip the syrup.
Possibly. I don't know. Maybe that'll be an experiment for us to try. So if any of you are looking for a good pancake recipe, write down what you just heard, try it out at home, and let us know what you think. Because to me, it's the simplest in the world. Okay, maybe it's not the simplest, though.
No,
I guess boiling water
would
be the simplest in the world.
It is the simplest, and it's things that we always have in the house at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
which is really saying something. because we are not very prepared usually.
Especially when the kids are around.
The kids wake up and they want food, and you would think that we never had imagined they would want to eat. So, we've talked about Italian food, we've talked about barbecue, we've talked about pancakes.
I think it's time that we let these people's ears go.
Go!
I didn't mean for that to sound the way it sounded. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's all good. It's all fine.
Too bad we don't edit.
Okay. Well, listen, everyone have a great fall. Hope your falls are starting.
Joe's having a great fall right now.
I just kicked my headphone cord with my foot. But you know what? Now the temperature's getting cooler. We have lots more dining adventures coming up.
Oh, just you wait till we start making apple cobbler, apple pie, apple cider.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of apple stuff coming up. There's an apple butter adventure coming up in the next month or so involving Lisa's parents, her family.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be lots...
Molasses cookies.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of apple. This comes in the culinary explosion time of year.
It's pie season.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. So thanks again for listening, folks. If you want to get a hold of us, how would they do that, Lisa?
I recommend email.
And how would that work?
Well, they need to have an email client to begin with.
Okay.
Open a new mail message, and in the to field, type dish@cheapdateshow.com. Type your message and hit send.
And if the gods of the tubes are with us, at some point the email will show up back in our hot little inbox.
Our inbox is way hot,
yeah,
too,
I'm
by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
You can
alternative
also leave
modes of communication?
Voicemail 206-203-3283, or if you want to follow us on the all-addictive Twitter.
Oh, boy.
JTL is
Twitter
me.
Anymore.
I know. You're so busy. I am JTL. Lisa is fourth time with the number four.
Yeah.
We'd also invite you to check out Discover Woodfield at discoverwoodfield.com. That's our other podcast.
Oh, yeah. We did a really cool one this month.
Exactly. So check it out. That should be live. Actually, by the time you hear this, it will be live. So check out discoverwoodfield.com as well. Okay. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.